Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
My next guest is Laura Thomas with her latest romantic suspense, The Final Word. So welcome to my show, Laura.
Thanks very much for having me, Sarah.
So your heroine in this book, what did she want to be when she grew up, and did she become that person?
Yes, well, my heroine is Sophie Brooks, and she always wanted to be an author, which some of us can relate to. So she was a little bookworm growing up and had this dream of being an author. She was born and raised in Canada, and then she moved over to Paris with this huge dream of, you know, romantic dream of being a writer over in Paris. And it took many, many years. But when we pick up the story, she has just heard that she's got a possible book deal in England. So it looks like, yes, she will become that person, finally.
Oh, well, good. I love how we can give our characters happy endings sometimes. So.
Yeah, she goes through a lot in the process.
Yes. Yeah. So what about your hero? What's his greatest fear?
Yeah, so my hero is Miles, and he is actually an opera singer, which was a lot of fun to write. And so he's devoted his entire life to the pursuit of music. So his greatest fear is not being able to do what he loves most in the world, which is sing. And he's already experienced a rather traumatic setback years ago, managed to overcome that and return better than ever. But now he lives with this constant fear that it could happen again.
Yes, yeah, that can be a fear. And did you listen to opera music, a side note here, while you wrote the book?
A little bit, yeah. My son actually is studying to be an opera singer, so he was my resource.
Oh, lovely. So let's switch to your villain. Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
Oh, goodness me. I would say that he loves himself the most, to be quite honest. He has a huge ego. He's proud, arrogant, incredibly self-centered. And the older he gets, the more desperate he is for power and prestige. And he really doesn't care who he hurts in the process. So, yeah, I would say he definitely loves himself the most.
Yeah. And what about the setting? You mentioned England, but how does the setting move the story forward?
Well, I love writing settings. It might be one of my favorite parts of writing a novel. And I love also being able to travel to all these wonderful places to do some research.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think setting is almost like a character. It kind of plays a really vital role. So at the very beginning of this novel, we're actually in Paris, which was a lot of fun. And Sophie lived in Paris, but this series is all set in the English countryside. So she's in Paris in the City of Lights, where there's a lot of darkness has happened. So she literally moves to England very early on after a few initial chapters. So we kind of move along with her. So literally it was moving the story forward with literally going from one country to the other and seeing who was going to chase her along the way.
Yes. Yeah. I like it when we can give our people arrive to a new town, move to a new location, new country. That's always very exciting and can add another layer of suspense. So,
Yes.
So you mentioned, I think, something about a positive message or some message in your story. So what is the underlying positive message in The Final Word?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, well, I know, I didn't realize until the end, but the final word is definitely a story of surrender. I think surrendering every aspect of our lives to God is a daily struggle for most of us. And particularly in this novel, with Sophie and Miles, they both really had to, well, you know how we have to push our characters right to the limit.
Yep.
And in absolute dire desperation, they were able finally to come before God and pray, God, I give you everyone. God, I give you everything, which was incredibly hard, but brought immeasurable peace. And yeah, for me, like, that reminds me of God's bigness and my smallness. And hopefully this is a message that it's a reminder that he is ultimately in control. And it's my prayer that the message of this book offers peace to the reader, and comfort and hope in their real lives.
Ah, I love that, Laura. Well, we are almost out of time. So close our session today with, what is your book's tagline for the final word?
Yes, it is, when an aspiring author trades Paris for the tranquil English countryside, she doesn't expect her fairy tale romance to turn into a fight for her life as she's pursued by the darkness of her past. Who will have the final word?
Ah, I love that. That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing on my show today.
Oh, it's been fun. Thanks so much for having me, Sarah.
I'm delighted to welcome back Sally Jo Pitts with her latest romantic suspense, Sweet Double Cross. So welcome back to my show.
Hi, Sarah. I am glad to be here.
So let's start with your heroine. What past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today?
My heroine in this story is a biologist. And her background is, when she was a youngster, she was having like a playing tea party with her little sister, and they had oleander and the flower and the leaves. And the little girl, the two-year-old, ingested it and wound up in the hospital, and it was a scary time. She had seizures and continues to have seizures. She's 21 years old now, and my heroine in the story feels, you know, guilty about having hurt her. She feels like that she's hurt her little sister. So her passion is to understand about plants and notify people, you know, about dangers with plants. So she is researching invasive species in this story, namely kudzu.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a little experience with kudzu, so not a fun invasive species. Yes.
Yes. I mean, it can take over for sure. Yes.
So, what about your hero? What is holding him back from finding love in this story?
Well, my hero, he's an interesting guy. He has focused in his mind. He knows what he wants in a woman, and he's just not interested in anybody else he's ever met. And so his concern right now is dealing with a piece of property. He's a developer, but it has a kudzu infestation on it. So he's trying to get information on it. But the thing that's holding him back is that he feels like there's not really this right person out there for him. And the people that raised, his mother died of cancer when he was a baby, and the people that really have raised him is he comes from a wealthy family. And it's his the chauffeur and the cook are kind of his parents, and do parent things, take him to scouts and do all these things. So his ideal person is Emily. It's like the cook, and he just adores her, and he wants somebody that's, you know, that's a strong person, and has no nonsense, efficient and focused, and none of these flighty girls and whatnot. So at any rate, that's what he's looking for when the story starts.
And so what about the villain in this? What is the villain's motivation in this story?
Well, now, the villain in this story, he is really involved in thinking about, he's wanting to gain power, and he's wanting to take over. It's basically greed and money and selfishness that are his motivators, and he is out there to, without giving away the whole thing
course,
about the story. But he's out there in terms, he's wanting to get the formula that they're working on and use it for his self-motivation, and he's willing to kill for it.
What about the setting? Is there a particular challenge in writing the book and where you set it?
Yes, the setting was really an interesting thing. I needed to, the story is basically, it's one of a love at first sight thing. So we get our heroine and hero together, and I have them together at the beginning, but then I needed, because it's romantic suspense, I wanted to get them in danger. So I ended up creating an isolated island that they do kudzu testing on. And that's where they are when they're confronted with the villain that's after them.
Okay. So what about this particular story? What about, why did you want to write this particular story?
Well, it's a love and first sight story, and it stemmed from, I was a couple, one of the girls in our Bible study, they were talking one day about like how they met their spouses. And one of the girls was saying, well, I met my husband on a blind date, and he asked me to marry him that night. And I'm going, what? And I said, I got to know more about this. So she said, so yes, he did. He asked her to marry that night. She told him yes a couple of days later, and they've been married 55 years.
Oh, my
goodness. It was just intriguing to me. She actually is a biologist, scientist. She taught my daughter science. I had no idea this story about her until, a year or so ago. And I said, you know, I have got to use that in a story. I want my hero and heroine to meet that way. And somehow or other, he's on their blind date going to ask her to marry him on the first time. But then I got to writing it, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I needed to know what the guy was thinking. So at any rate, bless his heart, I interviewed him, and he told me, his emotions and stuff when he first saw her. That she basically was this, he said it was a lot like this character. I told him about the character I'd kind of sketched out. And he said it really was kind of like that. He was kind of looking for somebody and had never really found him until she walked in.
Ah, that's so cute.
I know, it was. It was cute. And he said that there was a fraternity brother that came up to her where they were meeting, and they hugged. And he said, something just went all over me when he hugged her. And he said, he just knew that he was not supposed to do that. That girl was his.
That is a fun story, and I love how we can use reality in our books. Well, we are almost out of time. Can you close with what's one thing you want readers to know about Sweet Double Cross?
Oh, about Sweet Double Cross. My big takeaway with this is that God has a purposeful placement for things that he does, not only the people, but the plants, because kudzu does have redeeming value if it's in the right place. Here in our country, it just takes over, and it's not meant for here. It was produced in China and Japan. And it's suitable there for, like, erosion control, but it doesn't work here. It takes over. We don't have the insects that naturally control it. And so That's why we have kudzu that takes over the countryside.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
I am so glad to be here, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
I am delighted to welcome Darlene Turner to my show today. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Echoes of Darkness. So welcome back to my show, Darlene.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we're going to talk about your heroine, and this is one of my fun questions I think I get to ask my authors. If she could have or has a pet, what would it be, and what would that pet's name be as well?
Okay, I chose this one from your list because I grew up with cats, so I love cats, but I usually write about dogs. So I thought, I'm going to give the heroine in this story some Bengal kittens that she finds on the side of the road, believe it or not, because if you know Bengal kittens, they are not cheap.
Yep.
So she finds five Bengal kittens, and she names them Frodo, Sam, Arwen, Elsa, and Anna.
I love it.
So throughout the story, you'll see the kittens, and yeah, so it's just a little bit of fun throughout the book.
Yeah, and thanks for getting those cats in there. I mean, I like the dogs books. They're great, but I mean, come on, cats rock.
I know they do, exactly.
Yeah, I'm definitely a cat person, and some of my cats make appearances in various forms in my books as well, although I have branched out and done some dogs too. Don't want to be like known as the total cat lady, but thank you for putting some cats. Given the cats their due. So, your hero in this story, where did he grow up?
Okay, my hero, his parents died when he was 3. So he was bounced around from, and he didn't have any other family. So he was bounced around from foster home to foster home. And when at the age of 15, he ended up in a cult. Mm-hmm. And he was in really deep. But he was rescued by a millionaire who adopted him and a bunch of other kids. And after that, this millionaire formed a squad that I made up called the Canadian Watcher Squad. So that's basically his background.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll give him some baggage and some...
Yes. And the cult plays... Yeah, the cult plays a big part in this story, so I wanted to give him that background.
So what about your villain? Who or what does your villain love the most?
My villain loves my heroine's dad, who is a serial killer. That's not a spoiler alert because it's on the back of the cover.
Okay.
He worships the serial killer and wants to be just like him. So that's why he's very meticulous about, you know, his kills and that type of thing. And so, yeah, so he worships her father.
Ugh, terrible. Anyway.
And creepy, yeah. Huh? I know.
Yeah, a little creepy. That's always can be kind of good, though. So it sounds like that you might have made up a fictitious area. What did you base that on?
So there's a little town in Ontario called Parry Sound, and I kind of based the town on that. But there is a place where the hero and the heroine go to take refuge, and it's the millionaire's cottage. And I use the word cottage loosely because, you know, he's a millionaire, right?
Yeah,
But anyway, I based that spot on my friend's cottage that we go to write at. We go and have writers retreats there. And it's just such a beautiful spot. And they actually put the cottage on the front cover. I mean, it's not exactly the same as my friend's, but it's pretty close. Yeah, so that's kind of where that came on the cover. It's fun.
Oh, wonderful. Although, I don't know if your friend thinks it's so wonderful since you're talking about, like, serial killers and stuff. But
I know.
I'll leave you to take that up with your friend.
Yes. Oh, I wonder.
Okay. I mean, at least you didn't make her the serial killer, so I guess we're okay there.
That's true.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I mean, since your book is called Echoes of Darkness, and we already know that there's a serial killer involved, what is the underlying positive message of your story?
Okay, so basically, I had the idea for this story years ago. After I wrote my very first book that's never been published, I had an idea for a second book. And then when I thought about pitching to Love Inspired Trade, I thought of this story, but of course it's evolved since then. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to focus on light versus darkness. So in a bit of a grittier storyline to show how we can overcome the darkness if we trust in God. So, right. So basically, the underlying positive message of the story, there's so much darkness in our world today. And I wanted to share that even in that darkness, we can be a light, a single light, to shine God's light for everybody. Because if you remember it, on Christmas Eve services, how you'd light that one little light, mm-hmm. and then you light the next one, and the next one, and the next one, for all, and the church sanctuary is just all lit up by these single lights that are lit one at a time. So yeah, so that's basically the underlining message of the story.
I love that. And it's so true that, you know, there is a lot of bad things happen in this world. And,
exactly.
You know, how we handle it and how we overcome it is part of our, you know, part of how we live out our Christian life.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Yeah. So we're going to close our short time together with, what is your book's tagline?
A serial killer stalks a small town, and a police officer must face her family's dark past to catch him.
Ah, I love that. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing with us again today and this time about Echoes of Darkness, Darlene.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.